tonight that we do need you. God, we need you more than anything else. We need you more than the air we breathe. We need you more than the food that we have, the places we live, the work that we have. We need you more than that. God, and tonight we put you right at the top. You are most important. There is nothing like you. There is no one like you. You are the God of all gods. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Savior. And Jesus Christ, tonight we say we love you. And God, we, as much as we want you tonight, we just cannot believe that you want us even more. God, that your love for us is so full and so rich. And it's actually you that has caused us to want you. Your spirit inside of us. And so to God, tonight, God, we just say thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for who you are. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. You're so good. While we're sort of in this attitude of worship, we're going to carry on, and I want to read a verse to you. And obviously this verse, this person didn't have to go first, because Philippians 4 verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. So tonight this is one first thing. We're going to start off with that. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And, you know, when Pastor Eleanor asked me if I'd share tonight, I knew right away this is what I want to speak about. I heard a neurological scientist or specialist. He was saying that all of our thinking, we form ruts in our minds. And you, that's how you think. You follow those ruts. And so sometimes you've got good ruts, but sometimes you can have really bad ones. And I really enjoy mountain biking and motorbiking. And one thing you learn really quickly, the most dangerous ruts are the ones that are going in almost the same direction that you're going. The ones that are this way, you can cross them really easy. You just hit them and you go right over them. But it's the ones that are close to you. And I believe that that is the most dangerous thing in our thinking, is the stuff that's really close. And we think, is this, should I be doing this or shouldn't I be thinking about it? Those are the dangerous things. They're the things you need to stop right away. And so I believe tonight, I want to just really believe that there's one or two things that God is going to change in people's lives forever tonight. And one of them is the way people think about themselves that is not good. You know, maybe it's what someone has said to you. Maybe it was a parent, or maybe it is someone who you held in high regard, and they've said some things over you, and it has caused you to form a rut of thinking about yourself in the wrong way, and you cannot get out of that. And I believe that God can break that and change that on you, and you can start thinking the way God does over you. And then there are people who are stuck doing things that they do not want to do. You know, even Paul said, the very thing I don't want to do, I'll end up doing. So you're not alone. You're in good company. But there are things that you just stuck with and cannot change. And that's a rut that you're in, and every time you try and get out, you slip back in. And I believe God wants to take you 90 degrees and turn you right out of that, and set you free from that. Whatever's good, whatever's honorable, whatever's admirable, think on those things, and God will change your life. So we're going to carry on worshiping, and I'm going to ask you to really be bold. You say, well, I can do that right where I'm sitting. Well, no, that's the thought that's got you stuck in a rut. You need to cross it at 90 degrees and get out and say, God, tonight I'm going to think different about me because you think different about me. When God was on the cross and he looked down and saw you, he didn't think about all the things you did wrong. He thought what he can make you and what potential you have. And so I want to challenge you tonight. You can break that thinking and you can think on the things that are good because God wants to set you free. Amen. So don't hesitate. We're going to worship. Come right forward and people are going to come pray for you. And I'm going to believe for a supernatural shift in your thinking.
Just before I speak, I just want to say the altar is a really special place. Changes happen on the altar. I sincerely believe that. I don't know, to be honest, I don't know why. But I just, there's something about coming forward out of your seat and moving from where you are in a physical sense to a new place. How often kind of an inward change can be triggered by just doing something different in the natural, in the physical. So, I just, God's here, and He talks to us, and I don't know, I feel like this is just a challenge between me and you guys. If you feel the Holy Spirit pull on your heartstrings, if you feel Him calling you, yeah, you can stay where you are, but I just challenge you to come forward tonight. It's a testimony. I don't know why we should be so afraid of this, but it's a testimony in itself of the goodness of God, that you would physically respond to the word in your heart from Him. So I challenge you tonight, if anything comes out of anything that we say on this stage, please come forward. Declare the goodness of God. Okay. So I used to play rugby. I know you look at me and you don't think that's true. You think I'm a good old liar. But I'm not a good old liar. I'm a good old truth teller. And I played rugby for a team in Sydney. I wasn't very good. We weren't a very good team. Don't take this the wrong way, but one time we played this Fijian team. And I remember doing my stretches and warming up and everything. And I looked down there, and I thought, they're not very big. As we walked up to halfway to meet them, I remember going like this. It's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you. Yeah. Mr. It's amazing, our perception of things, the way we see things. And I always thought it's really interesting in the Bible where David is just about to face Goliath. Because from a distance, giants look small. Giants look small from a distance. They don't look very big at all. They're just like this. Have you ever done that thing where you put your fingers around someone's head and you go, your head's that big? You know what I mean? Like, your head's only that big. Well, a giant from a distance, it's only that big. It's funny, eh? Because so much of how our faith and our heart responds has to do with how big we see the giant. But we know He's physically big, right? We know He's physically big. He is actually big over there. But is He actually, like from here, He looks small. So it has more to do with our perception in our minds and in our hearts than it does whether He is actually physically big or not. And this is the thing, is that you find that Israel, the whole lot of them, saw the giant afar off and considered Him a giant. But David saw the giant afar off and considered Him a man. Do you get what I'm saying? So the whole lot of them were all hiding back here, all scared, hiding because they saw a giant out there. But when it was David's turn, he ran out to meet them. What does that have to do with tonight? I think some of us have got giants to face. And I think some of us have things we've got to push past to get into the promise. You see, when David defeated that giant, he didn't just defeat an army, he conquered a land. And for some of us, we have promises and we have things in our hearts that we need to push past. Like Victor said, there are ruts that we need to overcome. Some of us are stuck right now in front of a mountain. We don't know how to get past it. Could be looking for a job. Could be hoping that someone in your family becomes a Christian. Could be worried about your future. Could be feeling that sin has got you ensnared and you don't know what you're going to do. Today, tonight, there's grace at this altar. So wherever you're at, whatever the giant is that's on your mind, and I know from personal experience, there's usually always a giant on our minds. Man, it's mellow. I don't want it to be so mellow. Andre, play those drums a bit, please. This guy's got a magic touch, right? And that's a $6,000 bass, you might as well play it. We shift atmospheres, guys. We shift atmospheres. If you've got a giant on your heart, if you've got a giant who's standing in your way, manipulating your mind, don't let it stand there. Begin to fight back. Charge out to meet him. Don't let him come at you. You take the ground. You take the ground in Jesus' name. Now you can stay where you are. Absolutely, 100%. Stay where you are if you want to. But there's something special about the altar. I just challenge you. People will pray for you. Let's face those giants together. Let us pray for you. Pray the Holy Spirit's anointing upon you. Hey?
I just really had on my heart this week just the power of increase. And not the increase conference, but the power of increase in our lives and increase with the Holy Spirit. And this today, I was actually making mousse. And I had a bowl and I was like, yeah, this should be just enough. And I got it and I poured everything and it literally was like just enough. But when I was mixing it around, it was like splattering everywhere and it was going all over the place, all over me. And I was like, oh my goodness, I should have got a bigger bowl. But then it was interesting because on Friday, I made, Thursday night, I made cupcakes for my class. And I was like, okay, I know that I am going to need a big bowl because there's 26 children in my class. So I was like, I went in and I was like, yes, I need a big bowl because I've got two batches that I've got to make. And there was like plenty of room. And I think it's important that we have to understand that we've got to be intentional about how big our bowl needs to be and should be. And if we go in with a big bowl, it means that there's room for increase. And we talk about overflow and overflowing, but you are only going to grow to the size of overflow of your bowl. So if you've got a small bowl, it can overflow, but it's only going to overflow to the size your bowl is. But if you have a large bowl, then it means that God has the ability to overflow in a such larger capacity. And that's what we should all be striving for. I remember Pastor Eleanor was talking to our Connect group about how we have ceilings in our lives. And once we hit that ceiling must become our foundation so that we can continue to increase and take the next step in our life. And one way to do that, one great way to do that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to ask the Holy Spirit to increase the gifts in our life. Ask Jesus to come in even more, and we need God more. So where we are right now is it's not good enough. We want to be hungry. We can be content, but we want to always be hungry and hungry for Him. And so today, if you are wanting an increase in the Holy Spirit, in Father God's love, in Jesus, I want you to come forward. If you're wanting to receive gifts of, you know, speaking in tongues, if you want to receive gifts of prophecy, of words of knowledge, if you're wanting to be increased in gifts to equip you in your workplace and all these things, we cannot do it without the Spirit. And so if you want that, if you are just hungry and you don't even know what you want, you just want to come forward and you're just like, I just want the fire of the Holy Spirit to come on my life. I want you to come forward because we are never done. We are never done. Just like the queen, she worked until the end. And we too need to be working until the end. We need a large bowl. And so if your bowl is only small, come forward. We want to increase your capacity and increase and enlarge what God can do in your life. So as we sing, we want to be able to pray over you. And if you want a word of prophecy, come forward too. Because we want to actually speak into your life, speak vision and clarity. So come forward.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is here in this place. Pray, Lord, that you just continue to do your work as we seek you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that would like to, why don't you take a seat? You've been standing for a little while now. Thank you, Victor, for the pulpit. I was going to give, someone said to me, just make sure you ask one of the strong youth to put it up on stage, and I was going to give Pastor Alan the opportunity, but Victor's already taken it, so that's all right. That's good. I This is like a bonus bit of material here. So I brought my Bible along today. And I think there's, I don't know, God's just really been placing on my heart that often I'll reach for my phone and it's got the Bible app on it. But I could pick that up and I could go into the world. I could go anywhere. You know, if you can think it these days, you can probably find it. And so for me, it was just important that I had the opportunity to just re-engage with my Bible, because I picked this up and I'm going to find life. I'm not going to find whatever the world wants me to see, but I'm going to be encountering what the Lord has for me. So that might just be for me, but thought I would share that with you, part of my own journey. So I want to talk to you. The fact that I got you to sit down and I've got the popper, don't be scared, but we've still got a time limit, so don't freak out. But I really had on my heart to share with you today something about God's love and His heart for you and for all of us. And I'm going to do that in three parts. I'm going to give you the what, the so what, and the now what. Okay, so that's what you're going to be looking for. And behind me, you'll see the image of the rain falling. And it was a couple of, so this is like an old message because this was birthed a couple of months ago when I was in worship and this image was on the screen. And immediately I had the sense of that was God showing me His love. Like it was just so powerful. I was like, whoa, there's His love just falling. And it being constant and everlasting and falling from heaven. And I just thought, wow, thank you, God, for sharing that with me. And He obviously wanted that to be something that I would share with all of us tonight. So what does that mean? So I feel that our Heavenly Father really wants us to understand some truths. There's going to be a couple of truth bombs that I want to share tonight. And that His plan was and is for His love to constantly be available to us and be freely given. And that the water falling for me was like a waterfall. And that the Father is asking us to step forward, to step into that, to experience that love. And that it doesn't change, that it's always there. It's actually us that move away. And that all we need to do is just to step forward into it. And we're talking about ruts and getting into different angles and doing things slightly different. And Gene encouraging us to step forward, and there's power in that. And I typed this out today, not because I thought I needed to, but because I wanted you to know that this all lines up, that this is God-inspired, right? That we don't talk about this ahead of time. God has it already organized, and He's just sitting back there going, I love this bit. I knew this bit was coming. Where we live up the road from Kaiati Falls, and we get to go to the falls. And you walk down the track, and you get to the swimming hole, and it's epic. It's, like, amazing. And from time to time, I try to swim into the waterfall, and the strength of the water that's falling pushes you away. And I haven't yet made it in there. I've been going to the gym. You probably noticed. Thank you. And I'm going to try to get there, but it's pushing me away. And I think that this is where I bring us to the so what. And I think that that waterfall and that kind of strength of water flowing against us is what the devil wants us to think about God's love. That it's not freely available to us, that we need to strive, that it requires effort, that there's some sort of barrier in the way that's stopping us getting into God's love. But I believe that the Father's truth for us tonight is that it was God's plan for us to receive that love. And that it's freely given. There's no effort, there's no striving, that it's freely given to us and available to us. And I've got a couple of verses that I wanted to share tonight, and even though I've got them typed up, I told you I was bringing my Bible, so I should probably do something with it, right? So in Ephesians 1:5, and it actually starts at the end of 4, because I don't want anyone calling me out later that I wasn't quite truthful. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. And He's talking about Jesus there, and Jesus coming down, and that being the example and the the manifestation from his love. And for those of us that have accepted Christ into our lives, we've received that love. And that's ours. That's freely given. And then it goes on, well, where I've gone afterwards is into 1 Corinthians 3:16. And don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in us? So when Jesus rose, so that the Father sent the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us. And so Jesus couldn't be here anymore. He had fulfilled what was written in the Bible, and he came down and he was a manifestation of that love. And then he rose, and then the Holy Spirit came. And I think this brings us to the now what. So what does that really mean to us? Well, if all that's true, if God's plan was for us to receive his love through Christ Jesus, and then that love was to dwell in us, his temple, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we just need to believe that. And I wondered if there were some people here tonight that think this like isn't for me, or maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe this whole Holy Spirit thing is for other people. And I really felt like God was saying, well, then just tell the truth that he sent that love in Jesus for us. And if you've accepted him, you're now his temple. And that he sent that Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So you are the temples. So if we believe that, then we should be expecting that the Holy Spirit would come and fill us up. And the last thing that I had on my heart, and we've been already talking about it tonight, I think that there's some people that need that Holy Spirit to come in. And it's like, you can do it in a couple of different ways. I saw this video, this rock being dropped from a real big height into this bucket in the water, just thrown out because there was no room left because the rock was there. And I think that's what we need tonight, this Holy Spirit, just to drop into us. And then for those of us that are experiencing other things, that you'd be released from that. So as the next song plays, I'm going to invite you to come down to the front. And maybe that's what you need to believe tonight. That as this Holy Spirit enters you, that there's no room for other stuff. And that could be sin that's holding you back. That could be something that you're carrying, a hurt, like Victor said, that someone's spoken over you, or just a hurt with a family member that you want to be released from. And I truly believe if you let that Holy Spirit come in, the Holy Spirit can't occupy the same space as some of that other stuff. And the last group that I thought that this may apply to tonight was for those of you that have doubt. God knew you when you were knitted together in your mother's womb, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. So don't let doubt hold you back. Maybe tonight you just need that rock of the Holy Spirit to drop into you and the doubt to be flushed out. So as the song plays, why don't you come up and just say, oh God, I thought this was for other people. I now know the truth. Your love and your Holy Spirit was meant for me. Take me as your temple, fill me with that Holy Spirit, and be released from this other stuff that may be holding you back. Thanks.
There's such a sweetness of the Lord's presence in this place. So continue praying if you're up on the altar. And if you feel that pounding in your heart and you're not up here, come up before I even say one single thing. Tonight I wanted to come and talk about, I just felt on my heart to talk about being unwavering in the way that we worship God, and how if we don't feel like we can be unwavering in our worship, then I was going to challenge you, maybe we don't know God rightly. But when I was driving over here tonight, I just felt the Holy Spirit say that there's a couple people here who have let their fear of not being good enough for God get in the way of their worshiping him. And so I just wanted to say, and Lee just talked about it, the love of the Father is abounding, it's never ending. You don't have to strive, you can just simply abide in his presence, and that is enough for him. You know, it says in Song of Songs, with just one glance of your eyes to him, he is completely undone. Imagine undoing the heart of the living God. So if you're here tonight and you feel, you know, I'm a little bit afraid. I'm afraid of not being good enough to please God. I'm afraid that I won't say the right words or pray the right prayers or memorize the right scriptures. If that's you and you feel that fear, I just invite you to come to the front, because there is no fear, and perfect love casts out all fear, and God is love. So when we draw near, when we take that step out of that place of fear, when we bring our fear into the light, the enemy can no longer use it. So I invite you to come experience the love of God afresh again, and know that perfect love casts out all fear. That seems to be a theme tonight, that if there's things in the way, the love of God removes them. So as we continue to worship, don't let fear hold you back from experiencing true worship and the true love of the Father.
Now, if you haven't been up the front, your opportunity's coming soon when Alan comes up. But what I feel we're going to do right now is we are going to get a lot of young people out here, because youth camp is in 5 days and you are going to meet with God. But what I feel like the Lord's saying is we need to prepare our hearts to meet with Him. Now, we've also got Increase coming in less than 3 weeks, and we're going to prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord there too. But youth camp is before then, and I'm just going to read about some people who went to meet with God. You know, Genesis 35, the Lord said to Jacob, hey, want to meet with you, want you to build an altar, want you to go to Bethel, the house of God, and all this stuff. So Jacob didn't only get himself ready to meet with the Lord, he got his whole household ready. And this is what he said. He told everyone in his household, pick it up at verse 2, get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing, because we are now going to Bethel, that's the house of God, where I will build an altar to the God who answered my prayers when I was in distress. He's been with me whenever I've gone. So they, that's all of Jacob's kids and grandkids and daughters-in-law, there were a few of them, they all gave Jacob all their pagan idols and earrings, and he buried them under the great tree near Shechem, and they set out and they journeyed together. And what I feel the Lord is saying is these things, like the pagan idols and the purifying yourself, putting on clean clothing, that's speaking of repentance, stepping away from worldly stuff and getting ready to meet with the Lord. Put on clean clothing. This is like getting our hearts right. I am so excited about what God is doing. You know, last weekend we had Seeking God Retreat. It was incredible. It was life-changing for many of the 35 people who went, who've never been on anything like that before. A lot of them were new Christians or new to our church. And then 2 weeks later we've got Youth Camp, and then we've got Trent, and then 2 weeks later we've got Increase. God is doing something, but we need to prepare our hearts to meet with Him. So what I want us to do is everyone who is high school age, come out here now, and you, whether you're going to camp or not, sorry Lee, that ship has sailed. I know, I feel the same. Anyone who's high school age, plus all the youth leaders who are going to be at camp. Now, if you're high school age and you're not going to camp for some reason, I don't know why you wouldn't be going, but just come out here anyway, because you are, everyone who's here, you're going to represent the 90 plus who are going, okay? So come on out here and stand across the front. If they can spare you from the vocals, you can come down as well. And come out now. That's right, haere mai. And we are getting our hearts right and ready to meet with God. What this means is we've got to get rid of our idols and our earrings and all our pagan things. This is creating room. This is creating space. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. We are making space. Can we move that way a little? Is that okay? Oh yeah, there's a mosh pit right here. It's getting violent. And look, there's a gap. We just want one long line. Can we make one long line? That's good. Oh, look, here we go. We've got Nate and Kat. Oh, isn't that beautiful? It's like Donnie and Marie Osmond. Except their teeth aren't quite as white. Now, what I want is for all of us who are not high school anymore to come at one person behind each person. So come and stand behind someone. Come and stand behind someone, whether you know them or not, doesn't matter, and lay hands on them. We're going to impart the anointing, because God is preparing hearts to meet with Him. He is preparing people to meet with Him. right now. We are creating space. We're putting aside stuff and we are getting ready. And you know what? The Lord may even call some of you to fast this week. Fast something. Fast social media. That could be a good one. Fast your phone. Get out a paper Bible like Lee had. He might call you to fast some negative people in your world and avoid them at school. He might call you to fast some lollies. I don't know what he might call you to fast, but I know he's going to call you to pray and get our hearts ready. Let's lift our hands before the Lord as a sign of surrender to him if you feel comfortable. And Father, right now we do pray. And if you're not behind someone, stretch your hand out right now. Lord, we do pray that you would touch the lives of these young people. Let's start to worship and sing. That they would indeed meet with you. That they would meet with you. That they would meet with you in Jesus' name at this camp. That it would be powerful. Oh, Lord, that it would be an anointed time in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That nothing would compare as they meet with you in the name of Jesus. There's nothing like you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, prepare our hearts. Let it be a mighty move of God, a mighty move of God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are getting ready to meet with you right now.
So I'm the last one. So I want all the youth to take a step backwards, or maybe two little steps backwards. And I just felt that we're to pray for everybody. So if you haven't been out here at all, I'd love it if you just come and stand in front of these youth. They're going to pray for you from behind, but I just really felt to bless people. I felt it was a blessing, and I've got a blessing here I'm going to read, but I just felt for everybody that hasn't been out. If you haven't been out at any time, just come and stand in the front here. Youth are going to stand behind you. They're going to put their hand on your shoulder. They're going to pray for you. One big line. I think that's what they had to do, so let's do that. One big line. Of course, if you have been out, you can't come out again too. Man, we don't mind people being greedy when it comes to the presence of God. So those behind, I want you to just start praying a blessing of God. Can we try and make sure everyone's got someone behind them? So if you have to shoot up along or something, and just lightly place your hand on their shoulder and just begin to pray. So God told Moses to tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel. And this was the blessing, and I'm just going to pray it off you. It says that may the Lord bless you and protect you. And Father, right now I pray for protection to come over every one of these people. Lord, protection from the enemy. Protection from fears, protection from tiredness, weariness, protection from accidents. Lord, I pray right now that your protection would be over them wherever they go, that there would be no accidents, that, Lord, they would walk in strength. Lord, we pray that the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. Father, I pray every person here would sense, Lord, your favor upon them, that you're just smiling at them. And I even just feel that some of you think God's cross with you. He's not cross with you. He loves you. He's just smiling. He loves you. He is proud of you. He is a father that is proud of you. And may the Lord show his favor and give you peace. Father, I pray for every person here that, Lord, they would know your favor. God's favor is on you. Some of you have thought you're being cursed. Some of you have thought that, man, everything's going bad. No, that's not true. The favor of God. We're blessing the favor of God over your life. Everywhere you walk is blessing. And peace. Father, I pray peace. Lord, I pray for every person here that is anxious and worried. And Lord, even has stress right across their shoulders. Lord, I pray peace would now come. Lord, they would carry peace. Carry peace everywhere they go. Everything they do, Father, peace.